This morning we're going to read the scriptures together in Ezra chapter 3, and we're reading at verse 1. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua the son of Josedech, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his basis, for fear was upon them, because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. They kept also the feast of tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. And afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons, and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and of every one that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. They gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them of Sidon and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the son of Josedech, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God. The sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set their priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Amen. And we know that the Lord will follow with his own blessing the public reading of his word. As we open up the word of God together, we will take time to look to the Lord, that the Lord himself will reveal his truth to us. Our Father, we do come to bless the Lord. We do thank Thee for the one in whom all the sons of want are blessed. Thou art the fount of every blessing. It is from Thee that we draw our chief joy. And O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt minister to us from the sacred page. We have so much to comprehend, to learn of Thee. Wherever, we're always in Thy school. We're Thy disciples, ever under Thy discipline. And Lord, we pray that this day Thou wilt take and shape and mold our lives after the divine will. Remember us now in the word, we pray, and grant us unction and power to set it forth. We ask it to the glory of Thy great name. Amen. We're coming today to this third chapter of the book of Ezra. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah tell the same story. The story of the return of the remnant to Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the city and the temple after the Babylonian captivity. Cyrus, the Persian king, overthrew the Babylonians, and in 536 BC, a remnant returned to Jerusalem. What stirring memories, what recollections the parents, the older generation must have had as they thought of how things used to be. How discouraging it must have been for them to walk through the ruins of Jerusalem, to view the desolation and the rubble of the remains of the temple. However, they did not sit down in dejection. They did not sit down day after day, wringing their hands in despair. They set about rebuilding the city and the temple. They put their hands to the work. Often, when we are out on the highway, out and about in the city, we see a sign with bold letters, "Danger, men at work." Some of the utility services, the men are at work. Or it may be a construction company erecting a new building. "Danger, men at work." And here in Ezra chapter 3, God's people are at work. They are role models. There's no unemployment in the Lord's service. In every generation, there's a work to do. There's a work for all of us. Our calling as followers of the Lord is to go and work in the Lord's vineyard. We are to occupy until the Lord comes. Here's a pattern. Here's how we are to work for the Lord. Notice three things in this chapter today. First of all, the cooperation described in verse 1. When the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. The full thrust of their cooperation does not become apparent until we realize how many there were involved. There was a multitude here. We see in chapter 2 the numbers in verses 64 and 5, the whole congregation together was 42,360, beside their servants and their maids, of whom there were 7,337, And there were among them 200 singing men and singing women. And when all of these figures are totted up, in total, there were almost 50,000 people. And they all came together. They made common cause. They were all singing from the same hymn sheet in the great work of rebuilding Jerusalem. This spirit of cooperation shines through in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 3. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah together, to set forward the workmen in the house of God. And in verse 11, we are told they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks. So in this great work, there was a marvelous togetherness. It wasn't a spurious, all-embracing, ecumenical type togetherness. News spread among the enemies of the people of God that the temple was being raised out of the rubble. And those enemies in chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, we see their ecumenical type speech. Now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, note what they said, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up thither. They are saying to Zerubbabel and Jeshua, we all worship the same God. There's no difference. We are just the same religious people as you are. Let us join up with you and be one. If ever there was an ecumenical scene, here it is. And we know much about the spirit of ecumenism in 2017. There is a movement abroad to bring together so-called Christendom. Can you marry light with darkness, error with the truth of God? No. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 through to 16, we are counseled, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And the verse 17 exhorts us to come out from among them. Come out from among the enemies of the cross. And be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Did Zerubbabel and Jeshua fall in with this ecumenical ploy? No. They would have nothing to do with it. They would have nothing to do with that kind of get-together. And we in the Free Presbyterian Church are a denomination that is separated from the apostasy, from the ecumenical movement. You cannot marry God's light with the devil's darkness. You cannot marry truth and error. They said in verse 3 of chapter 4, Zerubbabel and Jeshua said, "Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God." And mark it, "But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel." We ourselves together. What a description of their cooperation, their united endeavors, their common purpose. Did you ever wonder why geese fly in a V formation and not in any old haphazard way? Scientists have discovered that flying in formation increases their flight range by 71%. Air waves created each time the bird flaps its wings provides an uplift for the next one in the formation, supporting it, decreasing its work efforts, its load, and conserving its energy. An isolated bird could never complete the trip, but in formation, the youngest and the oldest, the weakest, get there. Together, they can accomplish what they could never do apart. And every believer is a part of the body of Christ, designed to function in full cooperation with all the other parts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is drawn to our attention. Verses 21 and 2, "The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more needful are necessary." Every member of the physical frame, even the weakest part, they're all necessary. And in the body of Christ, his church, we have all a part to play. And among all the members, there must be full cooperation. The men of Babel, in defiance of God, they planned to build a tower that would reach to heaven. How did they go about that work? In Genesis chapter 11 and verse 6, we discover where the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language." In that evil work, they were one. The enemies of God were one. As God's people, let us be of one accord, as were those assembled in the upper room when the Holy Ghost was poured out. May we be striving together, as Paul says in Philippians 1 and verse 27, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're told in 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, we have been called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, may we be always careful to nurture the bonds of fellowship as together we work for the Lord. The cooperation described. But then we see, secondly, in this third chapter of Ezra, the consecration declared. You can picture the scene which confronted this remnant on their return from Babylon. Desolation was everywhere. Homes, they will have to be built. The fields will have to be recultivated. So many things clamor for their attention, but their consecration consecration shines through their priority. In verse 6, from the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. Do you see their priority? They did not wait until the middle of the month or the end of the month, but on the very first day of the month they began to worship the Lord. They made a priority of worshiping God on the first day of the seventh month. In other words, they put first things first. Have you ever noticed in the Word of God how the saints have their priorities right? It's written of Abraham in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 27 as he interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah, that he got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. He rose early in the morning. Moses rose early to meet with God at Sinai. Exodus chapter 34 and the verse 4. He hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. Joshua did the same when he prepared to capture Jericho. In Joshua chapter 6 and the verse 12, Joshua rose early in the morning. Early in the morning. Those faithful women who followed the Lord, they arose at daybreak to go to his tomb. Mark chapter 16 and verse 6 tells us of that incident. Mark chapter 16 and the verse 2 rather. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Are the things of God a priority with you and I? Have we taken to heart and put into practice what the Lord says in Matthew 6 and verse 33? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. May we have our priorities right. And their consecration shines through their patron. In verse 2, keep in mind, there is no temple, no recognized place for them to worship. But they made no excuses. In this second verse, we see that they followed. They followed the pattern written in the law of Moses, the man of God. They built the altar. They offered burnt offerings morning and evening. Verse 5. They offered the continual burnt offering. The burnt offering in the Hebrew, the meaning of it is that which ascends. It speaks of the offerer's consecration to God. In the burnt offering, nothing was left. All was consumed. Christ is our burnt offering. He was consumed by the Father's wrath. He made the all-atoning sacrifice. The Lord is our altar. Let us give ourselves daily a whole burnt offering. May we leave our lives on the altar of worship and service, saying, "Here am I, Here am I, send me. Their consecration shines through also in their participation in giving. Notice in verse 7, they give money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them of Sidon and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the sea of Joppa. In chapter 2, verses 68 and 9, we discover that some of the chief of the fathers, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to set it up in his place. They gave after their ability unto the treasure of the work 61,000 drams of gold and 5,000 pound of silver and 100 priests' garments. Their hearts went with their giving. They gave after their ability. They gave freely to the house of God. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great preacher, he tells the story of a farmer who broke the good news to his wife that their cow had just given birth to twins. One calf was white, the other was brown. The father proposed to give one of those calves to the Lord. He said, "We will rear them together, and when the time comes, we will sell one and keep the proceeds for ourselves, and we will sell the other one and give all the proceeds to the Lord." His wife inquired, "Which of the two will it be, the white or the brown one, that will be given to the Lord?" "Oh," the farmer said, "there's no need to worry about that just now." A few days passed, and the farmer came into the kitchen very upset. And his wife asked him, what has happened? "Oh," he said, "I have bad news for you. The Lord's calf is dead." "Wait a minute," said his wife. "You didn't decide which calf was to be the Lord's." "Yes, I decided it was the white one, and the white one is dead. The Lord's calf is dead." We must not be like that, but give freely, cheerfully, with a willing hand to the Lord, who so freely and willingly gave himself for us. And then finally, in this chapter, we see the chorus delivered. The verse 10 speaks of the builders having laid the foundation of the temple. And what an accomplishment. Despite all the obstacles and the trials and the troubles, the builders succeeded in getting into place the most important part of the structure. They persevered. They kept at it until the foundation of the temple was in place. David Livingstone, the famous missionary to Africa, he faced trials and difficulties in his service for the Lord. He lost his wife at the hand of death. He faced opposition from his Scottish brethren who did not share his vision or the burden of his heart to reach the people. But David Livingstone said, "Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on my heart. Only sustain me. Sever me from any tie but the tie that binds me to your service and to your heart." there was total dedication in his life. And the same with these people. And they came to the point where the foundation was in place. And what they saw, what a jubilee of joy, what a chorus it delivered from their innermost being. A jubilee of joy was raised among the younger generation. Verse 11, they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people, the younger generation, shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was raised. The older generation, they remembered the grandeur, the gold, the glory of the first temple. And they said to themselves, the new will never be the same. And so they sobbed while others sang. It's good to remember the past, but we cannot live in it. And when you and I think of the past, on both sides of the Atlantic, what a gospel history we have. What a goodly heritage we have. A history replete with the Lord's mighty works, with days of visitation. We cannot live in those days. We must dedicate ourselves to build on the foundation laid, to serve our generation by the will of God. Oh, let us not despair, but lift our hearts in prayer to entreat the Lord for his mighty works. We think of the glorified in heaven. We were reading together at home in Psalm 15 this morning. And in the third verse of Psalm 15, we discover that they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. And we must look for those great and marvelous works. The Lord has said, behold, I will do a new thing. So let us seek the Lord until he does come and rain righteousness upon us. May we see the Lord glorified among us. May we see new chapters written in the Acts of the Holy Ghost in our time. May we see the Lord's name uplifted, his praises among the people again. As in Elijah's time, may there be the acknowledgement among the people again, the Lord, he is the God. What about the spiritual foundation of your life? Is everyone present in this service today building on the foundation that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Lord? Can everyone present say, my hope is built on nothing less than the Savior's blood and righteousness? That's the only foundation on which you can safely build. The Lord is that tried stone. He is that sure foundation. Oh, if you're not saved, If you have never been converted, may you flee from the wrath to come. Flee to the wounds of our Savior's cross. Flee to His precious blood, for none who are sheltered there can ever perish. May the Lord bless His word to each of our hearts. Let us pray. Our loving eternal Father, we thank Thee for the example, for the work of these believers, the people of God in Ezra's time. We do thank Thee for their togetherness, for their singleness of heart and mind, for the united endeavors. And we pray, Lord, that outside the camp of ecumenism and apostasy, we will be with one accord, serving our great God and Savior, dedicating ourselves. We have looked at the priority. We have looked, O Lord, at their diligence in giving to Thy treasury. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt help us to seek first Thy kingdom and Thy righteousness, and then all these things, the things of earth, things that are needful for our daily living, will be added unto us. Oh, we pray, Lord, that we will see a great edifice, spiritual edifice, raised on the foundation that is laid. We will see the church built in our time, the powers of hell and of darkness driven back, and our Lord and Savior's great name extolled and glorified again among the people. O Lord, it is time for Thee to work, for they have made void Thy law. Thou hast said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift the standard against him. We thank Thee for the blood-stained standard, that ensign fair. It is the cross of our Lord crucified. Help us, Lord, to rise up and serve Thee, to be a people who are strong and do exploits. Bless us and make us a blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.